The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well, it's time now for our weekly segment on gardening. Porta Corcan is away, so stepping into the breach to test his knowledge against the questions of our listeners is the well-known gardener and Chelsea Show prize winner, Dermot Gavan. Dermot, good morning and welcome.
It's like Mastermind, Pat, I'm scared.
Now, we do want to talk about two things which are brilliant, because it's something for nothing.
It really, in both cases, is something for nothing. And there's not a huge amount of work been done in the garden. The weather is really so mild. Nice bit of rain at the moment, so the plants are still getting watered. And the two things that people will be doing, the leaves are coming down from the trees and people are beginning to prune back trees, shrubs, whatever it is, are herbaceous perennials. And certainly once the frost comes in, that will happen. So the two things that I'd like to chat about today are making your own compost at home from any of that green debris that has arrived in the garden, or taking hardwood cuttings, which is absolutely an amazing thing to do from the middle of autumn right through to the end of winter.
And now cuttings means I take something off an existing plant and I do something and then I get a new plant.
So if you collect seed from plants, it's a very good way to propagate, and the aim of every plant is to procreate, but the seed won't always come true to type. So this is the Dolly the Sheep way of doing it. I'm holding about 20-25 centimetre stem of Solanum capsicum glass 7, that wonderful wall shrub or climber that is absolutely covered in blue flowers from about May on. Actually, in my garden, it's just finished. So I would snip this. Where's my secateurs? Have them somewhere here. Actually, I'll even use a
scissors
to do it. Nice sharp cut at the top, and then about pencil size down just below a leaf node.
Okay.
And what we're doing here is we're injuring the plant on purpose. And if you do that, it's going to try and protect itself. And one of its ways of protecting itself is to develop roots. But as well as, so we have a stem of about pencil size. I'm going to strip off all the leaves from that stem. And there's your cutting. And any leaves that are left on it, I'll just cut them in half to reduce water loss. Now, you can do this with all types. You can do this with roses. You can do it with any of the flowering, the shrubs in the garden, even soft fruits. I'm going to dip that in some rooting hormone. Now, all I need to do then is put it in a trench in the garden. If your soil isn't very well drained, maybe add a little bit of sand to the base of that trench and leave them for a year, and the plant will do its thing. So cutting it, there's other things like hydrangeas. You can get a little bit of, you can lean one of the branches from a hydrangea down, scar it, so just scrape it with the knife or with the scissors or whatever, pin it into the ground, and a little bit of soil over it, and that will root. So that's a type of layering.
You injure the plant. The plant defends itself by developing roots.
Yes.
And, now, and that particular one that you've done there, will that give us flowers next year?
Not next year, although Solanum is a type of climber that will flower very, very readily. It's a bit of a thug. It grows very vigorously, but not next year. I'd say about the year later. Depends on the
What
species.
About the roses? Because, I mean, you cut back roses to basically ground level almost when you're pruning them anyway.
You do. A good friend of mine says, get your worst enemy to prune your roses.
That's how vigorously you must prune them.
Every gardener has a different theory on how to do it. But what you want to do is have an open cup shape with the roses.
Yeah.
Obviously, with any pruning, the big thing is to take off any dead or diseased wood. You don't put that on compost heap. And take anything that's crossing, because you want as much air circulation as possible in this muggy weather or right through the growing season. You don't want disease spreading.
Now, you mentioned the compost heap, and don't put any diseased wood into the compost heap. I'll have to ask you the theoretical question. What if you did? Would that be, that disease be in the compost then, and wherever
absolutely.
You use it?
A compost heap won't be sterile. So if you go to the garden centre, you buy a bag of compost, it's completely sterile. You know, for generations we've produced peat-based compost, which hasn't been the best thing for our environment here, but it is sterile.
Yeah.
So if you're making your own homemade compost, anything you add to it, so you'll often find, people often find spuds growing in the compost heap. I find eggs not growing in the compost heap, but I have it in the same part of the garden where the egg... Where the chickens are. So I really just started... I've spent all my career travelling, and it's lockdown that's kept me at home and allowed me to garden at home on a day-to-day basis. So in just when lockdown started, I built three bays, and I'm just showing you, I have a pot here of debris from the garden.
That's your raw material, basically. It's leaves that are drying out and bits and pieces.
So you, if you want to make compost in your garden, I'm going to talk about two ways. One for just leaves, the autumn leaves that are coming down now, and one for general waste. The most important thing is have yourself a bay or a heap of some sort. You can make a very cheap one from using three pallets. Put in leaves, put in grass cutting, put everything in layers. Occasionally spread a little bit of soil from the garden, because that contains microbes that will really begin the process of breaking everything down. Now, if you have a lawn and you're using any of this material, run the mower over it first. Any of that material, like the leaves or anything, shredding it a little bit with the lawnmower
helps the breakdown.
Increase the breakdown really substantially.
Because you're generating more surface area, actually, doing.
Absolutely. And then just the little particles are smaller. And there's an example. Now, that's the compost from my garden, just in about, 15 months. And it is as crumbly and as beautiful as anything you will buy. So this even saves, sending it out in the brown bins or whatever, if you make it at home. If you have leaves, and can I make an appeal? The tyranny of the leaf blower is just about to start. Don't do it too early in the morning, especially at weekends when people are trying to get a seat, because the noise that those machines make. But if it's mainly leaves that you have in your garden, of a pot of leaves here, you can compost them in a really quite remarkable way, a very, very simple way. Those black plastic refuse sacks are just perfect. Put leaves, any type of leaves, into one of those black refuse sacks. Put a few cups of water in it. If you want, you could even pee in the bag a little bit, because that helps with
an accelerant.
It's a great accelerant. A few holes around the base of the bag, and just leave it in the garden on a piece of soil. Tie the top and leave it there. And anything from 9 to 12 months' time, you'll have the most wonderful material to use as a mulch or what you're planting, and it's called leaf mould. So there's no reason really to ship anything out of the garden. If you've a small to moderate size garden, you can make your own compost within.
All right, two very good ideas there. Now, Dermot, questions for you. What is the best rooting compost, and can all cuttings be used for compost making?
Most cuttings can be used, even with indoor houseplants. I use a rooting hormone. The most important thing in terms of the compost, if you are buying in compost, you can get seed and cutting compost, and it doesn't have a huge amount of nutrients. It's not too rich a soil, so that's the most important thing to look out for. If you want to use rooting powder, you can do that. Just dip the base of the cutting into it, shake it off, and then put it in. And it does contain, it does help prevent any pests or diseases.
And people want to know about your grass cuttings. Can they make compost?
Really good for making compost. But don't put a huge pile of them in together. It's the whole secret to good, easy and fast compost making is layer after layer. So a layer of grass cutting, a layer of leaf, a layer of other vegetative material. You can even use, the stalks from the cauliflower in the kitchen, the Brussels sprouts, any of that.
Potato peelings, all of that sort of stuff.
All of that, as long as it's not cooked food.
I need to transplant a large holly tree. Is it safe to do this, or will I lose it? A question from Jerry in Westmeath.
It depends, but certainly you're going into the right time of the year. The holly trees they're a great tree to have in the garden. They're a native tree to have in the garden that sustain any amount of interest. They're evergreen. They produce berries in the winter, so really lovely to have. It is a toughie, but it's a big established root system, so depending on how old it is, you might go through a system of digging a trench around the outer rim of the tree, filling that with soft compost, even the type of compost you make. So putting a year's preparation into it. As you dig that trench, you'll be breaking some of the established roots. New, softer roots will go into that soft compost, and the second year you might try and
might be easier to move. improve it.
The big advantage to a holly tree is it has tough leaves and it doesn't lose water very, so it won't be under so much stress, say, like a Japanese maple might be.
Now, looking to transplant some leftover beech hedging, it's grown to about 4 metres now. Any advice on how to best increase the chances of it surviving? There are about 8 trees in total.
In midwinter, in the dormant season, is when you should do it, not when there's heavy frost. Mind you, we don't tend to get the heavy frost anymore. And if you're really worried about it, do that trenching thing. Fill it with light compost and give it a year's prep before you really go for it.
How long does it take a slip from an apple tree to take?
Any of these, I'd give a full year. I really would give a full year. But apple trees respond very well to it. Some things like soft fruits will be much, much faster. So maybe in 8 months they'll be ready. The most important thing, if you have a trench with all these, and you could grow a new full hedge doing this. So for instance, the holly tree or even the beech, you could take cuttings from that. A lot of people will be trimming these type of plants anyway at this time of the year. So it's just the stuff that was going to go on the compost heap, you could do it. In the spring, water that trench. If it's going to dry out in the spring or early summer, water.
Should hydrangeas be deadheaded or left alone?
Deadhead. Definitely deadhead.
Okay, another one looking for suggestions of plants for a courtyard garden. I have no soil, only pots, raised beds and a west-facing old stone wall. That's from Anne in Mayo.
Anything will go well in a pot or container. Just make sure the pot or container is good enough. Something that I'd really love to grow in a very large pot is oriental maple, Fatsia japonica, the castor oil plant is a really good one for a courtyard plant. Never gets too big, but the oriental maples are great. However, you can pretty much grow everything if you don't let those, if you get the growing medium right, really good fertile soil, and just don't let them dry out.
Yeah. And if you sneak up a little irrigation system with little drippers and so on, that
really
works wonders.
Yeah, because it's, you know, in summer, during the growing season, it can be, you might have to water these plants, you know, once every 2 days or something like that. If you go off on holidays and you've been growing this beautiful specimen for years, you know, it could be just that freaky time that
when we do get 10 days of sunshine.
Exactly.
Dermot, you've passed the test. Thank you very much for joining
you,
us. Dermot Gavin, expert gardener, Chelsea Prize winner, and so on. Thank you very much for joining us.